All right, let's be real for a second. You've thought about starting a business, maybe you've even tried dropshipping, and it's probably felt like you're just throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks, right? You're dropshipping some cheap junk from a sketchy website, praying it gets there, and then you're making 12 cents on the dollar. It's a grind. What if there was a different way? A playbook, a blueprint. What if you could skip all the nonsense and build a real business selling high-ticket stuff, I'm talking products over $1,000, from trusted suppliers? Look, John and I distilled 21 years of e-commerce experience into six simple checklists. It's the battle-tested blueprint that over 1,000 students have used to launch in 30 days. No more guessing, no more costly mistakes. We're giving you all six checklists, plus a video walkthrough for each one for just $9. That's a no-brainer. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/checklist to get the ultimate high-ticket dropshipping checklist bundle and stop doing things the hard way. That's dropshipbreakthrough, spelled THRU.com/checklist. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today is a special one. We have one of our students on who is having massive success early on in his business. And we wanted to get him on here to kind of tell his story. Jaden, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks very much, mate. Excited and a little crazed to be here. Can't quite believe it.
Well, and you mentioned before the show that hearing other people on this show was what helped you push through some struggles, what helped motivate you in the beginning. So I don't know if you want to shout out some of the names you heard on here. Happy to reference those podcasts in the show notes too as well. Just kind of cool that it's coming back around full circle.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've probably listened to every Freedom Friday episode that this show's done multiple times because I just love to get motivated. And I used it as well as a tool in the beginning when I was struggling with that belief. I was like, okay, let me go listen to Brian or to John or to whoever it was and just hear someone else who'd done it, because it's hard to believe that you can do it if you can't see someone else. So you're like, hey, they're just like me. They're a person who at the beginning was just where I am. And I'm not saying that that meant I had 100% belief, but it always topped it up. So listening to someone like, John Murphy's story struck me, because I listened to all the stuff that had got in his way and thought, geez, I don't know if I'd have had the resilience to move past that. Some of the suspensions, like going to zero. Well, I just thought if he can overcome all of that and then be in the position he is, like, surely I can make this happen.
Yeah. I love that it's come full circle. Just to give everyone a little teaser, before the episode, you kindly converted it to US dollars for us dumb Americans here. But you've been in business 10 months. You've done $750,000 in revenue, which is, borderline where I've ever gotten to. And I have, I think, been part of, I consulted two gentlemen who I think grew faster than I've ever seen anyone grow. But now we're starting to see other students just like you who are really moving fast. And so kudos to you, man. I'm really, really proud of you. I'm glad that you're learning that we're all just people, right? And we've all been through some stuff. And so when you look back at Kellen and John, that's amazing to me. That's like, our event is about 1 week away from us recording this right now. And that's one of the things I want to get across at the event is, like, I'm just a guy who, took action, and I'm in a massively different place. And you're just a guy who's taken action. And, 10 months later, you're already in a massively different place in your life.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think you touched on something that was super important to me when I came on today, is I'd hate to leave this show with anyone thinking that those numbers that we just talked about, but which, by the way, have blown even my mind. Even 3 months ago, I wouldn't even have considered dreaming of those numbers. But there's absolutely nothing special about me. And like we sort of chatted about before the show as well, I'm in a mastermind with some other Dropship Breakthrough students who are at like a similar phase to me, that sort of 1 year mark. And, we're getting on that call and we're talking about our numbers, and there's plenty of people talking about, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100K months on that call. And, these are all people who are still quite new. So, we would all 100% agree there's nothing special about all of us, right? We're just people who have stuck our head down and worked really hard for the last year and are now amazed with our own success and the rewards we're getting.
Well, there's some amazing people in that group. I'm glad you guys all found each other. I know early on in my journey, that was part of it too, just getting around two, three, four other people who were at the same stage as me, pushing to get better, pushing each other, holding each other accountable to move forward. There's some crushers in your little group, and I'm excited to meet a few of those people in person in the next couple of weeks. Look, let's take it back. I want to understand how we got here, right? So first off, you're in the UK. We get often asked, does this work in the UK? Does this work in X country? This works anywhere there's an established e-commerce market. I actually think there's even more opportunity in the smaller countries than there is in the US. There's just everyone wants to be here. They love that Americans just spend, rack everything up on credit cards, and they want to push to this market. But the reality is, like, everyone around the world is shopping on their phones, right? On their computers. E-commerce is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity in smaller countries. You've obviously found that. But how did you start? I want to understand, like, what motivated you to start in the beginning? You're a young gentleman. You told me you got a... at the time had a pretty great job. Spoiler alert, he doesn't have the job anymore. You had a pretty great job. What motivated you to start in the first place?
Yeah. So I had to go through that quite heavily. And I actually had to deal with a lot of feelings of like entitlement. I'm really lucky. My fiance, we're getting married next year. She's my absolute best friend. We love spending time together. But what comes with that is like we spend a weekend together and then we get to Sunday and we're like, oh, that anxiety is kicking in. We call it Sunday scaries, where you just get that little flutter in your heart and you're like, why am I so anxious? And then you look at the clock and realize it's 7 p.m. on a Sunday and you've got work tomorrow. And both of us, we both have corporate jobs. We both work for big employers in the UK. And to be honest, like, that's why we had these feelings of entitlement. You know, we'd always say to each other, excuse my language, but oh, so shit working, isn't it? You know, we get to the end of a holiday, but how bad is it that we have to work for 6 months just to steal these little 2 weeks of escapism on holiday? But we just thought that's what you had to do, right? Everyone in our lives, they work jobs. Our parents, our friends, we were telling us, you're so lucky. You know, you've got a good income for your age. You get really well looked after. You've got all these benefits. You get to work from home a lot, right? You know, remember you used to be in the office 5 days a week. You only have to go in 2-3 days a week now. You know, what are you complaining about? And so I had to almost justify these feelings to myself. And reading the 4-hour work week, I mean, like every other entrepreneur out there, the Tim Ferriss book, he helped me to realize that actually it wasn't me that had the problem. It was the fact that a lot of my peer group hadn't been awoken to the misery they were actually feeling. And they were accepting their lot in life, but actually that I didn't have to. And that was the first time that I'd thought of actually that it was okay to want this different lifestyle. And it was okay to moan about hating having a 30-day, which for people in America, probably like, wow, you get 30 days off a year. But like for me, I was like, really? I can only take 2 holidays a year with the person I love? Like, that sucks. So that was the first thing. I read that book and I was like, okay, it's okay not to want this. It's okay to want more. And so I set about, right, okay. Now, and from then I was like unleashed. I was like, right, I now can't just sit and go back to being happy in this corporate job. I have to go and find something to create. I think he calls it like the new rich, but I was like, you know, I have to get to a place where I'm in control of my own time and in control of my own lifestyle. So yeah, that motivation came quick.
That's it. I think a lot of people that we surround ourselves with, either are happy with where they are or comfortable where they are. And if you're slightly ahead of them, it's a lot of, oh, must be nice. You know, be grateful for this little extra that you have compared to me. Whereas I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting more. I think I've wanted more my whole life. I grew up, you know, relatively low middle class, and I knew there would be more. I was mowing lawns at 10 years old. I was doing whatever I could to make that extra cash. Just like I wanted more. I knew there was something more. I knew I was meant for more, but it certainly wasn't whatever I was, you know, surrounded with, and it wasn't school, that's for sure. Oh my god, I hated school. But like for you're at the top for a lot of people, right? You're very young and you're doing very well. 30 days vacation, buddy, we don't get that at all here in America. It's a lot unless you've been working for a company for a long time. So I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are like, oh, you know, you're young, making big money, and 30 days off sounds real terrible, and you're married, your best friend, must be nice. Whereas like, it's okay to want more. It's okay to want to strive for bigger and better things. And I promise you, even when you get there, you're only going to want to strive for bigger and better things. So wherever there is in your mind, it's a mythical destination. It's the journey along the way. And so kudos to you for like realizing that at a young age. I think that's one of the things I've noticed through talking to you, you know, offline quite a bit. You're extremely self-aware for your age. Most people aren't as self-aware as you. And so again, just kudos to you for realizing that. Where did you jump into like doing something else? A lot of people we speak to on here, myself included, it's side hustles, right? They're flipping something on eBay here in America, or there's a million different side hustles you could start to make a few extra bucks. Where did you start? What was your first impetus into let's do something else?
Yeah, I was never really that guy. I wasn't that, you know, going to car boot sales, we call them, because you sell out the back of a car boot, a garage sale, I guess, is the American equivalent. I wasn't that person going there, right, finding something, funny bit of arbitrage, get it on eBay, make. I wasn't even that guy selling, I don't know, sweets at school in the playground, making a little bit of money. I was actually always quite a risk averse, probably still am, but it's quite a risk averse person. I was a bit of a entrepreneur. I'd had a couple of failed attempts. I've got a buddy who works out in South Africa, and he's massive into conservation. He literally works stopping poaching of rhinos and big cats. He and I looked at setting up a conservation conscious travel company. And I mean, both of us massively bought into what this was trying to do. We'd both been fortunate enough to be on those sorts of holidays and seen that tourism could be doing a lot more, and was turning a blind eye to conservation. And so all the motivation was there, right? But just things got in my way. As soon as something got hard, you know, oh, what's the insurance with sending someone to Africa for a trip? I struggled to work that out. What's the bonds you need? What do you need to be registered with? I kept finding these big, almost what they felt like insurmountable blockers. And I think there was two reasons for that. One, I hadn't found the right business model. And two, I didn't yet have the desire hard enough. I hadn't felt the pain hard enough. It wasn't until I properly had this awakening that I talked about with the sort of Tim Ferriss book. And I was like, right, I now can't do this anymore. I don't mind if it takes me 1 year, 2 years or 5 years, but I have to work towards this new style of life. And that drove me on, which before I didn't quite have that pain, but I didn't have a roadmap either.
So how did you transition from, you know, looking at a completely different business model or idea to dropshipping? How did you stumble on dropshipping?
Those people who have read the Tim Ferriss book will know there's a bit in the back that's sort of practical, where it recommends you go and find a private label product and you run, I think, about $200 worth of Google ads to it. You create like a little Shopify website where the checkout's disabled. And, you know, if a certain number of people get to your checkout page, you basically say, okay, they probably would have bought, and you go, right, cool. And now I go and order 2,000 of these from China. And, well, that was all I knew, right? So I started looking at that, and it made me feel uncomfortable. Now what I know about Google Ads, the way I ran these Google Ads was terrible. I was basically just getting the most top of the funnel traffic in the world. I just wonder anyone even got close to my checkout page, to be honest. So obviously the numbers didn't look super exciting. And then the other thing was essentially like I was going minimum order quantities. I knew I was going to have to put down, you know, probably £5,000-£10,000 to get these in the country. I was thinking, geez, I'm going to have to ship these out on my evenings and weekends. If I want to go on holiday, who's going to ship them out for me? Because I didn't want to tell anyone other than really my partner that I was doing this and taking this journey. So I was like, well, that's going to be a nightmare. And just the fact that I had no idea if this was going to sell. I didn't even really believe in the product because I couldn't really change it. I couldn't really tweak it. I basically had to say, right, that's what I'm getting. And 2,000 for my house, please. And I just thought, geez, I just don't think I can take this £10,000 bet. I really wanted to. I wanted to move forward, but I just couldn't take the leap based on that. So I stalled again. And then I was listening to podcasts, just immersing myself, hoping that I'd see a way forward. And I was listening to the unofficial Shopify podcast, the Kurt Elster one. And there was this guy called Ben Kenegendorf on there. He was a guest. And I listened to you talk about high ticket dropshipping. I think it took you about maybe 5 minutes just to give the high level of like, this is the model. And I can actually remember now, I was driving in my car at the time, and I can remember like what road I was on, what I could see visually when I just had this penny drop moment. I was like, that's what I'm going to do. It ticked those boxes of, I knew I could get started right away. I could start taking action like tomorrow if I wanted to. And in 30, 60 days, I could have a business set up, which is what I desperately wanted. I was like chomping at the bit, but I didn't know how to move forward. I knew that I wasn't going to have to hold stock of this stuff. I knew I didn't have to put all that money down that I was worried about. I just had to learn marketing and be prepared to work hard and, you know, learn some customer service, do some customer service. And I was like, right, I can absolutely get going on that. I just remember being so excited. I think I binged. You guys only had like 50 podcasts out at that time because this is obviously about a year ago. I probably listened to all of those in about 3 days because I was like, geez, I think this is it. And then, yeah, got on a call, got into the course, and I was like, right, at last. I did feel a bit unleashed. I felt like all that stuff, all that emotion that I needed to channel of wanting to start finally had a place it could go rather than just this frustration of not being able to move forward.
Well, shout out to Kurt Elster, and shout out to John Murphy for hooking me up to get on the Kurt Elster show. They've sent us that podcast, sent us quite a few people just like you. And so I love hearing that getting out there and spreading the message is, you know, changing lives. That's amazing. You know, back to your risk averse part. So you found Dropshipping, you found us. You bought, like, we don't offer payment plans very often. That's not something we like to do. And we offer, like, one with the elite membership and one without. You literally, like, took the least risky. You took the lowest payment plan, no elite membership. So, like, even though you were, like, ready, you had this moment. You were ready to go in. You were still kind of dipping your toe in. What was going through your head? What was your before state? Were you scared? You know, I just call it what it is. It's BS running through your head. That's, mm-hmm. you know, telling you why you can't do something. What was going through your head at that time?
Honestly, I think it's just a fear of partly fear of failure, but also like more the fear of letting other people down. You know, the course is a big financial outlay in the context of the money I've made in the last year of the course. It isn't at all. It's probably the best return on investment I'll ever make. Or, you know, you never know. Maybe I'll buy Bitcoin and it'll go to the moon, like you keep saying. But yeah, sure. Probably the best return on investment I'll ever make. But at the time I was here, like, okay, that's a decent sum of money. You know, what if I do this and it doesn't work and I'm out for that money? You know, we're a household, right? It's me and my fiance. So I've spent that money from our household pot. You know, the idea of having to go through and being like, look, I'm so sorry. I thought I could do this, but look, I've bought the course and I've given it a good go, but I can't make it work. And I'm sorry. We're now out that money. That sort of idea I hated. I hate the idea of letting anyone down. And I'm a real, this will come through in probably a few of my stories and the struggles I've had mentally with this business. I'm a real people pleaser. I don't like to upset people. I don't like to let people down. And I would always prefer to sort of like disadvantage myself, so to speak. Maybe disadvantage is the wrong word, but I'd rather take something on to avoid someone else having pain or a problem. So for me, this was the way I could be like, right, if I do the monthly installments, and I don't take the elite and all that, that allows me to scratch this itch and get going and hopefully prove I can do it and, you know, prove I'm worthy without, you know, taking too big a risk and feeling like I screwed up.
Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, I was binging podcasts probably like you're doing right now. And the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you. At dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can see a free training where John walks you through one of our businesses and shows you what the site looks like, what the process is for setting up one of these stores, and how you can take your next steps to setting up your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Well, you jumped in. You bought the course, right? Even though you took the least risky option. What's next? Where did you struggle in the beginning? I know for me personally, it wasn't necessarily picking to whom I was going to sell or what I was going to sell to those folks. It was the calling suppliers part. For me, other people struggle with website building. I know you mentioned before the call, you kind of zip through the content. You know, this is something I get asked on sales calls a lot, is like, you know, what's the likelihood of success, or what's the success rate? And I think that has a lot more to do with aptitude. And then, you know, can you tackle your own limiting beliefs? Right. And it sounds like you had the aptitude down. You were able to pick this stuff up quite quickly. Where did you struggle? Cause everyone struggles, right? Everyone deals with something. What was it for you?
Yeah, I found that early stuff okay. I'm a kind of like 80% is good enough personality for the most part. So like things like niche selection, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to follow the course, follow the content, wherever that data leads me, I'm just going to go, right? I'm not going to second guess it. I'm just going to go there. And also, I don't really know. I'm quite an impatient person anyway. And so I was really keen to move forward. Like I'd already set myself a launch date. Basically, when I bought the course, I was like, I want to have this all done in, I think originally I said 30 days. I think maybe it took me 45 or something, but I was almost saying to myself, like, I can't waste time with my logo because I need to launch and I need to get the next thing done. And I think that helped because I almost didn't give myself enough time for the bullshit. I was just like, okay, on to the next thing. Yeah, suppliers I found a little bit intimidating, but again, like I was used to in my main job having those sort of conversations with people that intimidated me a little bit. So again, I found that okay. Where I struggled early on, and the struggles probably came actually for me slightly later in my business. The first 3 months were probably a bit of a breeze in comparison, but in that early phase I struggled with validation, that need for this to be validated as quickly as possible. And I remember I was so desperate for that first sale, because in my mind that first sale would validate this whole thing and remove all this anxiety, or that first supplier, or whatever it was. I remember I must have said to my partner 100 times, oh, if I could just make, you know, $100,000 or £100,000 revenue in the first year, even if I made no profit, that would be enough to know. And like that I now know is all me just trying to lay that safety net, lay that fear that I might not do as well as I hoped. And, you know, the fact that I dared to dream, just like lay that, what's the worst that could happen, or the underwhelming thing that could happen. So yeah, that's probably more where I struggled early on.
Tell me about that. You kind of mentioned your first sale or your first supplier. Everyone has a first sale story, right? So it eventually happened. Walk me through it, because to me, those are moments you won't forget the rest of your life. So walk me through yours.
For sure. So first sale happened about 10 days in. So not too bad. It felt like the longest 10 days of my life, as I sweated every single visitor to the website praying for that first sale. But anyway, someone called on that 10th day. I gave them a bit of a discount because I was so desperate to get that sale. And yeah, it was a good sale, £2,000, you know, proper high ticket sale. And that was awesome. I had built this up so much that it was more relief than excitement, which is a shame, right? Like, it was almost like that exhale of, oh, thank God that happened, rather than, wow, amazing, that's happened, which is a shame. And that's something I'm trying to work on in myself, because I'm guilty of not enjoying the highs high enough, because I've worried about the worst case and then going through the lows too low. So that was a bit of a theme in my first sale. And then what do you know, it probably is one of my worst sales to date, funnily enough, in that essentially the customer found it cheaper from a big box store about 2 days after ordering it. The supplier didn't go with MAP pricing. I actually don't work with the supplier anymore, and most of our suppliers do have MAP, but that was a hard lesson for me to learn early, right? That if these big box stores can sell cheaper than you, your customer might find it, and it's a rubbish experience to know that you could have got it cheaper elsewhere. So that, you know, I had to go back and give them an extra discount, refund them a bit of the sale. And then it was delivered, and I sell big items, and it's not so much a problem in the UK because it's a smaller country, so shipping is normally okay. But this thing's like 3 meters wide, it's about 175 kilograms, it's big, and it's been delivered on a pallet in the way of the customer's driveway. And, you know, with this business model, we normally sell to pretty affluent people. They've got this big gated house, and they're having construction work done on the house at the time. And I get a call from the customer, and they're like, furious. It's been delivered, it's in the way, none of the guys can get on site to work this morning because this thing's in the way. And I'm just like, oh my word, how do I deal with this? So I didn't even think about calling the supplier or the courier to try and get this thing sorted. I literally just called my mate and was like, he's a big guy, he's like 6'4", he's got a lot more in the muscle department than I do, which is a pretty low bar. And I was like, mate, you've got to come with me now. We're going over to this customer's house, and we're just gonna take this whole thing off the pallet, and we're gonna move it for them. And we literally just drove over there, like saying hi to the customer, a cup of tea in the house, moving this whole thing for them. And obviously, you know, all resolved. But it's the first and only time I've ever been to a customer's house with the delivery. But it made for a good first sale story anyway.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a really cool story that I hope you share more often, because that's rare. Let alone, I think a lot of people would just freeze up in that moment. Like, even if it was local, I'm not sure they would go over there and do it themselves, right? They might call the supplier and ask permission. Like, suppliers often feel like parents to a lot of people in the beginning. Like, I need your permission to do this. Can you please help me? You know, I'm in dire straits, where you just took it on yourself to, you know, call a muscular mate and go move the thing yourself. So that's an amazing first story. I hope our editors clip that out and share that around social media. That's a really cool story. Where did you struggle then along the way, right? Because you didn't go from first sale, you know, moving things out of someone's driveway to, in US dollars, $750,000 in sales in 10 months, like overnight, right? There's obviously some struggles along the way. The first sale being a good example of what could go wrong in some instances. Where else did you struggle along the way? What other hurdles did you have to jump over to get where you are?
Yeah, definitely. I struggled like I said, almost all of my struggles in this journey have been the mental side, which I completely underestimated going in. I know you guys talk a lot about how that's the real game in entrepreneurship. And I think until you go through it, it's hard to believe that, right? You're like, no, the game must be understanding the strategies. It must be understanding the tactics and, you know, all that sort of thing. That sort of stuff I found okay. And that's not to sort of like, I suppose, make light of how difficult some of the stuff in this can be. You know, some of the marketing, Google Ads, all that sort of thing, it can be complicated. But I think I was lucky, like that sort of stuff. I found the course was really, really detailed. You know, I found it easy to follow. You know, maybe sometimes I need to go back through it, but you know, I never thought I can't move forward in my business because I can't crack this with ads or this with a supplier. Where I did find was I was just getting massively in my own way. And I found that the business bled massively into my wider life in terms of sometimes I tied my identity to the business. So when we were having a great month, I was like, oh, I'm awesome. Geez, 6 figures in revenue this month. I am such a good business owner. Aren't I fantastic? And then it could be as micro as we start a new month, right? And I track things monthly and weekly and probably daily. You can probably tell by my personality. I'm a worrier. And you know, hey, oh, geez, it's the second day of the month. We haven't made a sale. What if it's just all going to go quiet this month? What if we're not going to make any sales? And all of that would just rush in. And then maybe a few, you know, a few leads happen, but I don't quite convert them. And then suddenly I've tied that to my identity. Oh, I'm a rubbish business owner. Oh, I've not converted a sale all day. 3 great opportunities, 3 customers sticking their hands up and I didn't convert. And I tied that to my identity. And then I would be in bed with my fiance or, you know, I'd be with my friends and my family, which, you know, this is important, but that stuff is way more important than any business will ever be. And, you know, and my best self was not there. I was this guy who was like, you know, a shell of myself because I was worrying about that or I was beating myself up. And that was a big problem. And that's something that I will not pretend I've cracked at all. You know, I'm not here as this finished article like, yeah, but that's all in the past and I'm great now. I still struggle with that. I'm learning and my fiance helps to ground me massively. But hey, it's something I need to keep working on because for me, keeping those priorities straight are really important. And that's something I've also struggled with. You know, I have a busy week and suddenly I want to play the violin. Oh, 5 customers, you know, contacted me about their order and had to sort things out. And oh, I'm working so hard. I'm doing a job and doing this. And it's like, yeah. And did you ignore your friend when they texted you 3 days ago? Did you not call your mum for a chat this week? Like you always try to, because you know, it's an important relationship with you. And then that's when I start to know, okay, right, I need a reset. And so it's just constantly doing that sort of thing. It's been really, really important to me.
You know, tying back to the beginning, you're incredibly self-aware for a young gentleman. Like often you tie your success in whatever you're trying to achieve to your worthiness, right? And so in business, it's if sales are up, I'm great. If sales are down, I'm bad. But as my friend Bree says, and I hope to have her on the show, you're worthy just because you are. You just exist. You are worthy. You deserve everything that you have. And so, you know, being able to not necessarily shut it off, because I can't turn it off. And I honestly don't know why anybody would want to. I'm literally like, as we're talking, my brain is drifting to business ideas. I can't turn it off. I love it. But at the same time, like I'm not neglecting it, other places in my life, relationships that I have, and it doesn't tie back to me when John and I have a bad month, or when I have a bad month in business, or when something goes wrong in the business. That doesn't change who I am or what I'm trying to achieve. And so, again, kudos to you for recognizing that. You know, Elliot, my coach Elliot, and his protege Valentina are going to be at the event. I know you're not going to be there, but you sound like you're a prime candidate for like working on this stuff with someone like Valentina. If you haven't heard the episode with Elliot, you know, go back a little ways. He's my personal coach. He's made the biggest difference in my life. So anyone listening to this, if you want to go deeper on this mindset stuff, Elliot Rowe is definitely the guy. He's also got his own podcast as well, the A Game Advantage, or the Prime Mind podcast. I'm not sure what they're calling it nowadays. So definitely check that out. But all right, so you're working through that stuff. Times are up and down. And I want to highlight something that you did that, look, a lot, let me preface this with saying a lot of people have reached out to me asking for things, right? I get no shortage of DMs. I get no shortage of emails of, hey, Ben, can you do this? Hey, Ben, can you hop on a call? Hey, Ben, can you help me with that? And for our students, I'll bend over backwards for most of them. I probably answer way more DMs than I should, as far as like, I should push things more to the channel. I answer more emails than I should. For people who aren't our students, they do tend to get not neglected, but they get answered less than people who have invested their time, invested their money, took a chance on themselves. You specifically reached out more with a GIF. And I think that that's overlooked by most people. They're often coming with an ask. And you just came with a GIF. You emailed me and you said, how can I help with X, or how can I help with Y? I want to be helpful to you. And you didn't ask for anything in return out of the gates. And wouldn't you know it, your email read well as well. You wrote it very well. And sure enough, by wanting to give, you got my attention, right? And through giving to us, if you were getting a bunch of podcast emails for a while there, that was Jaden writing those, saying, hey, a new podcast is out. He would listen to those. He would write out an email. He helped us a lot. And in turn, I was able to, you know, give some time back to him. And I appreciated that very much. And so I just wanted to like shout out that while a lot of people reach out, you were might be the only one who reached out saying, hey, I want to help in this way, and gave yourself to us to help us, so that, you knew likely it was probably going to come back around. I don't know if that was your intentions in the beginning, but I just want to shout you out for that, because you did it the right way. And I think too many people do it the wrong way.
Yeah. I think that was a bit of like an on a whim. I just remember being like sat in my office. I think it was a Friday, you know, and I was just like, hey, I'd listened to the podcast and just thought, oh, be cool to chat to these guys more. It'd be cool to be, I'd bought in by this point, you know, I'm a couple of months into, you know, listening to all the podcasts, going through some of the content. So I'm super bought into what you guys are doing at Dropship Breakthrough. And so I just thought, hey, why not just reach out? But exactly that. I thought, well, if I reach out with an ask, I'm sure Ben gets plenty of those. So I thought, how can I differentiate myself a little bit? So, even then I can see a little bit of my own sort of mental bullshit in there a little bit of like, oh, wouldn't it be great if I had a bit more of a close relationship with Ben, this guy who, you know, has done all this and therefore must have all the answers, and I can't fail if Ben was there one day to help me through that thing that I think is going to stop my business. And now being 10 months on, you know, it's not, I'm grateful that I reached out because of a friendship that you and I have developed, not because, you know, oh, I absolutely couldn't have done this with Ben's help. Yeah, again, just looking back, thinking, oh, and I see that as well with people now, which is crazy. You know, maybe I put a post up in the Slack or I put it in the Facebook group, and suddenly someone sees that I've been going for a bit of time or that I've done some good numbers, and they think, this guy must know absolutely everything. This guy must be so much further ahead than I ever was. And you know, maybe they message me and we chat some stuff, and they're like, oh, geez, this must be gold. This must be the secret sauce that I've been missing. And they'll get to the same place I am now, where you start to realize there is no secret sauce. There's a fantastic roadmap of tried and tested strategies that if you execute will absolutely get results. But the executing is the only bit that really matters. Like, none of us, you know, I'm still very, very new, but you know, none of those guys that I looked up to, yourself, John, or any of those people that came on with success stories, are any different in the same way that I'm no different to the person who maybe bought the course yesterday. None of us are special. We just, you know, some of us have just stuck in and executed harder for a bit longer. I have this desperation now that I've been through this journey, for people to see people stick at it and take a chance on themselves. Because I know that there's loads of versions of me that wouldn't have. And I just, you know, timing was right and I did. And I'm so, so glad I did. But I mean, I've referred a couple of people into the course. One of them's a really good mate of mine. And I've had chats with him, right, where he's like, oh, what you're building towards in your lifestyle, that is exactly what I want. That's what I'm desperate for. But he bought the course 7 months ago and he still doesn't have a business life, right? He's barely made it through the first module of videos. So I know people who have done that in a week. And that is just because he just hasn't quite got there. He hasn't got the desire hard enough yet, and he hasn't quite taken that chance himself. He hasn't yet managed to make himself believe. And I just have this desire to almost shake him, and I just think, oh, if I could just make you believe, I know it's out there. Because I know if he just commits, he'll get there like everyone else.
I think that's the hard part. I'm trying to look up a quote here on the side of the screen. I heard it from Eric Thomas, but I think it's from like Marcus Aurelius or something like that. They talk about a student wanting to learn something, and the mentor says, meet me at the beach in the morning. So he meets him at the beach. They walk out into the ocean, and the mentor shoves the guy under the water and holds him there. Right. And he's underwater, and now he's just clawing. He's grabbing on the guy. He's doing everything he can to get up and get a breath of air. And the mentor pulls him out eventually, brings him back to shore, you know, helps him start breathing again. And the guy's, what was that? I came here to learn something. What did you want? And he's like, when you want what you desire, as bad as you wanted a breath of air in that ocean, that's when you'll have it, right? And so you, like, I struggle with this too, Jaden. Like, you can't teach that. You can't go give your friend whatever that is. You found it and you executed on it, and now you're in a different place, and you're probably going to find something even more. And now you're going to execute on that and keep going. But whatever that initial push is, like, unless somebody actually wants it, there's like nothing you can do for them, right? You know, I often reference, I've struggled with my weight my whole life. And so, like, it'd be very easy for a guy with a six pack to walk up and be like, this is the game plan. Why aren't you doing it, right? And that doesn't make me take the actions necessary, right? You can't want it for someone else. And so anyway, look, I appreciate you. I appreciate you reaching out. I pulled up your email. We were talking here. Your subject line was, I bought you a coffee to make myself feel better. And you kind of talked through what we mentioned on a podcast, and you literally bought me a gift card. My wife says, thank you, by the way, to Starbucks, you know, to get my attention. And so, like, I appreciate that very, very much, man. I appreciate you reaching out. And I'm really thankful that I was able to, you know, kind of help steer you. I don't think I really helped you too much, but I helped steer you in the right direction. And kudos to you for just taking action.
Absolutely. I'm glad someone drank the coffee as well. I thought, geez, there's no way he's actually going to. I was like, does he even have a Starbucks? I can't remember if it was a Starbucks or a Costa or whatever it was. But I remember you said on the podcast, you were like, please don't DM me. Please don't email me. And I was like, oh, but I really want to. And so that was why. Okay, right. Well, if I buy him a coffee, I can say, sorry, I know you said not to, but here I am in your inbox.
Look, I appreciate it. I want to talk about where you are now. So, right, so you're 10 months in. You're part of a great group of people. You know, shout out Holly, Rob, other folks that are in your, you know, your little mastermind. I'm not sure if you guys are calling it a mastermind, what you're calling it, but you're with a great group of people who are all striving for the same thing. Where are you now? I know you mentioned before the call. Actually, I tried to get you on this call a few months ago, and you were like, hey, wait till I'm out of my job. Are we out of the job? Have you put in your notice? Where are you at with that? And, like, talk through how other things in your life have changed to this point, just 10 months in, because of you taking action.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'm out of my job. I am full time on the business now, which was like dream number one when I started this. Even better, my fiance has also handed her notice in. And so she has 3 more months and then she's out of a job as well. So her and I are going to work on this together. And we're going to go full steam ahead to trying to 3X this business, or maybe more. Who knows? That's my little limiting. Like, 3X is the biggest number I'll let myself believe. But I'm sure that more is possible. But we're going to go hard, and we're going to grow this business again next year and years after that. But more exciting is that we're going to get to work together, right? We're going to get to do this. She's amazing. She's going to be huge in growing this business. She's got skills that I'm super, super excited about. So yeah, of course, I'm so excited for what she can do for the business, but I'm more excited about the idea of, you know, her and I getting an Airbnb in Paris for a month and going and working and running the business out of there. Cause all we need is a good Wi-Fi connection and our 2 laptops. Like, that would be absolutely amazing. Or even just to wake up one morning and look outside and be like, oh, the weather's so good. Wouldn't it be nice if, like, you and I could just, you know, take the dog for a nice walk, or, I don't know, go and sit in a pub garden and have a nice lunch. And it's like, well, normally those are things we can't do because we've got to clock on and go do our 9 to 5s. But the idea of having control over our time and more time to spend together is super, super exciting. So, I mean, that's one radically different place that I am to a year ago. I suppose other places, I guess I have a mindset on life that is radically different to where I was a year ago as well. Me as a person has become way more important to me than a year ago, which sounds almost funny, because obviously this business has been a massive priority of me, but almost by virtue of trying to squeeze too many things into my life. So a corporate job, a business, all my relationships, you know, a bit of myself as well. I realized how important it is to focus on myself and keep constantly making sure that I'm being the person I want to be, not the business owner I want to be, or, you know, whatever else, but actually the person, the fiance, the friend, et cetera, that I want to be. And so I think by making that a priority and making that more important, I think I've been able to move forward there, which is awesome. And one that I didn't necessarily realize, I see more abundance in the world, 100%. That risk-averse person is a little bit less risk-averse now and a little bit more excited by everything that's possible. But I also see that for others, whether it's drop shipping, which, you know, I'm like, absolutely, you know, please do jump in and follow my path for people I think that's right for. But also, like, my brother-in-law, for example, he does trimming, which essentially things like the seam work on cars and airplanes and boat seats and that sort of thing. And he works for a workshop, and he's going to go and do this full time for his own clients. And I'm just like, so excited for him, because he's a person that I know that throughout his life hasn't always been told he's super intelligent and super high potential, even though he is, and he will be absolutely amazing at this. And in 5 years, he's going to be absolutely killing it, probably sooner. But I'm just so excited for him to go on that journey of like being like, wow, I'm actually awesome. I'm actually a rock star. And I see that in so many of my friends, and I just think, and family and whoever it is, and just think, I'm so excited for you to take action, for those that are taking action and realize that. And if I can help in any way to for them to be incentivized to do that, then that's awesome.
I think the narrative, at least in America, is, you know, rich people or business owners or corporations or billionaires are all out to squeeze other people. The reality is, just like you said, we want to root for you. Like, just go take action, and everyone's going to be your biggest supporter. We want to see you succeed just as bad as we want to see ourselves succeed. And so I love that your mindset has changed. I love that you're changing as a human. And I think I love most that you just said, I think my business could 3X. One of my favorite parts of talking to people early in their journey is how limited their scope is. And so you might hit $1 million in your first year. And so I've been a part of, I consulted two gentlemen who hit $1 million in their first year. And then they brought me on, and we went 1 million to 11 million 2 years later, right? And so that's much more than a 3X. I think you're more than capable of that. I think you truly have barely scratched the surface in your business, let alone the opportunity there. Like, just one call we hopped on, we found one keyword that I would imagine is doing quite well for you at this point. SEO, text ads, whatever it is, you haven't even begun the real work of building up content and building out the machine that will run the business for you. And so 3X is I would hope that's the bottom of where you'd like to get to. And then, you know, once you get there, you'll see where you can go from there. I'm excited for your journey, buddy. One last question I have for you is, just like you said, this, people reach out to you in the Facebook group. I'm sure other UK folks reach out and say, hey, does this work in the UK? Should I sell in the US? There is also a lot of beginners or people who haven't even started listening to this podcast right now. What would you say to that? What would you say to someone who either is thinking about starting, or, you know, just started, or is wondering whether it's going to work for them? What advice, if you could go back, you know, 10, 11, 12 months and talk to yourself, what would you say?
Yeah, sure. So this is like one that I think about quite often, actually, because it does happen, right? People do reach out to you. They see you active in the Facebook or the Slack or whatever, and they reach out to you. And it's sometimes hard to see those lessons with the benefit of being where you are with the perspective now. So the biggest thing, and I don't think this gets talked about a huge amount, but for me, this has been the biggest thing in my whole journey, is have someone who's there as your support system. And people are probably there like, whoa, calm down. Like, you know, we're starting a business. We're not, you know, going through life-changing surgery or something. Like, I don't need a support system. I did. There's no way I'd have done this without the support of my fiance. And like I said earlier, I didn't tell people. I told that one muscular guy that I needed to come shift stuff out of the way of the driveway. And that was because I had to. And then I told my fiance, and that was it. I didn't tell my parents, who I have a really close relationship with, that I was doing this until I was literally, my job was done and my life was about to change and they had to know. So I didn't want to tell people, but having that one person was so important to me. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a partner. It can be a friend. It can be someone else in the dropship community. It can be multiple people. It can be a group like we have. But two things. She was so important in the lows. I had a time maybe 4 or 5 months into the business where I was having a really difficult sale. I'm a people pleaser, like I said. So the customer had a few repeat issues where it would, you know, go out, I'd have a problem, go back. And I couldn't wave a magic wand and fix it because I'm reliant on the supplier. And I was taking on all that anxiety and all that frustration from the customer and taking it all onto myself. And then I was working really hard. I felt burnt out. And also we hadn't started seeing the really great results yet. And I just had this like breakdown moment where I was like, I just don't know how much more I've got in the tank. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I remember going to my fiance and just having a bit of a breakdown and being like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so stressed. I'm really struggling. And the first thing of that is she massively talked me around. She came up with like, right, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. She put it all in perspective for me and helped me feel so much better. And then the next thing to say is that I felt in a totally different headspace like 2 days later. So the first thing is have that support system. And the second thing is when you go through those, and I'm speaking to myself here, try and remember the place you were when you weren't directly in it, because I've wasted so much time and energy worrying about things that won't be a problem in a week's time. And to be honest, if it's not going to be a problem in a week's time, it shouldn't be taking all of your focus today. So they're two things, is have that person and also have them for the highs as well, right? When I make a huge sale and we make a 15, 20 grand sale, I'm absolutely buzzing. She's also the first person I want to tell because it's more exciting to share together. And I'm also excited to get on the mastermind, right? And us all to cheer for each other as well. So have that person there. The next like thing to avoid is like, I didn't take enough control in knowing my numbers early on. I was 80% is good enough. I was like, okay, macro numbers. And like that bit me, that's now something I am like all sorts of anal about. I use Isaac's spreadsheet, a sort of slightly UK adapted version, which I'm happy to share for anyone in the UK who wants it from like a VAT and stuff perspective. And I am like, as soon as I make a sale, everything goes in there and I don't even look at the numbers until like it's gone in there and everything come out of it and it's properly to net, because I learned the hard way not to deal with the big numbers and just forget the little ones because they do add up. And the last thing I'd say is just it's a battle to one year. So if someone's saying like, oh, should I start? What's the success rate? Should I get going? The first thing that's probably specific for me, being a guy from the UK on the podcast, is like, if any of your hesitancy is about, will this work in the UK? Can I start in the UK? It's not just my niche. I've seen dropshipping happen. You know, we all get shiny object syndrome, right? I've looked at 20 other niches in the UK. Dropshipping is as established here, in my opinion, as it is in the US. It's something that 80-90% of the suppliers you'll talk to will be doing and familiar with. So there's absolutely no reason for the US to operate any differently to the UK. Ultimately, it's the same business model. It's a different market, but it's a super well-established e-commerce market. So there's no reason for that. If you want assurance on that, please reach out to me. Happy to chat it through with anyone. But it's a battle to 1 year. And I, it's not necessarily 1 year. I've just plucked that as a rough. But John said it on a podcast previously where it was like the success rate of people that get to 1 year, so high. In fact, I'd love to hear from someone who's been going for over a year and is actually like, oh, I just can't make this work. I'm not profitable. I'm really struggling. I think you'll find them so hard to find, but there's no shortage of those people I talked about earlier that have bought the course and have never made it out of module one. There's loads of those. And I'm being really careful not to like almost like demonize those people, because I've been that person, right? I've been that entrepreneur. We've all been that person who couldn't quite get out their own way at one point. But if you are that person that Ben talked about earlier, that you want this as bad as you want to come above the surface of the water, like just please, please don't let anything else get in your way. Just commit to yourself and say, right, if I want it bad enough, a year is not a long time. So I'm just going to get my head down and nothing is going to stop me for a year. And if after a year you've done everything and you've executed and it's still not happening for you, then sure, you can quit with your head held high saying like, I really gave this a good go, but that won't happen. That person will be in a radically different place and so glad they will. So like that is what I would love to drum into someone, because if they've got that desire, they're just definitely going to have success.
I love it, man. Two things right with that. There's a reason we built the community behind Dropship Breakthrough, is because we all don't have amazing, spouses like Jaden, or a lot of people don't, right? I was fortunate enough to have that too, but when you don't have a support system, you kind of don't want to tell your friends or your family, because they're going to try to pull you back in like a crab in a pot, right? They're going to try to bring you back and say, oh, your job's good enough. You shouldn't want more. And so we built this community so you can be around other like-minded people. We are running a live event 2 weeks from recording this, where you can get in person with other people who are on the same journey as you. We've had students break out like you, Jaden, with shout out to Rob, building out his own little group of people to talk to. The support is in the course. And to your point of the 1 year thing, we make that guarantee. Do the work for 1 year. And if you don't hit 100K in sales, we'll give you your money back. Just do the work for the year. Like, you have to take the steps and do the work for the year. And if you do the work for the year, you're going to be in a massively different place. And if you break 100K, we'll give you your money back too. Just give us a testimonial. I assume you probably won't want your money back at that point, because you'll be in Jaden's situation here where you feel massively, massively different. Look, I'm thankful for you, man. I'm really glad that you came into this community. I'm glad that we've established a relationship above and beyond, you know, teacher and student. And so thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. And I hope anyone who is second guessing anything can listen to the story and take something away from it and really, really move forward.
Thanks very much, buddy. It's like I say, it's mad to be on here. If you'd have told 1 year ago version of me that I'd be sitting here doing this, I'd have called you crazy, but it's a super exciting moment. And yeah, I'm feeling really grateful to have been here and to be part of this community. I might regret this. I know you guys have a lot of listeners, but if anyone is on the fence, particularly if they're in the UK and they want to reach out to me, find me in the Slack, find me in the Facebook group and reach out, and please don't blow up my DMs, or at least buy me a Starbucks gift card.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.